You know, you always need to bring us up to date on what's happening with the museum.
Well, we've had a very busy summer, and it continues on. We have another bus tour coming in. This will be the 9th one. And we've had many smaller tours, but those bus tours have been just absolutely wonderful for Cass County and the whole area.
And those bus tours are basically all from Iowa?
Yes. The people are not.
Actually, I
take that back. The bus tour is out of, the company is out of Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
But it is through our Iowa magazine. And the people that are on the tours are from all over America, as well as South America, and some Europeans. We actually had a Scotsman on board, I was told. I missed him, but...
That's too bad.
Yes, it's
and
been fun.
Good exposure to Iowa and especially Southwest Iowa because there are lots of interesting things to see. And I know, Shona, we'll be visiting with you in the future about whatever the next thing comes along. But today,
I would like to introduce my sister from Sydney, Australia, Vicky Lord.
All right, and we are so happy to have Vicky here.
Good morning.
So, Vicky, have you been to this area before?
Yes, about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I came when Shona's daughter was married.
Yes.
So, we had a typical country wedding, which was lovely.
And
that's about it.
Family
mm-hmm.
event.
Yep.
But there, in 8 years, there have been many changes in the Cass County Museum.
Oh, yes, I know. It was. In fact, it was just, I hate to say it, but a bit of a wreck.
Oh, yes. That's how it started.
But no, it looks great now.
Yes. Thank goodness to Shona
we
and
toured,
all those.
We toured through there just the other day.
And it just keeps growing.
It does.
Well, Vicky, we want to learn a little more about you. You were born in Scotland, as Shona was, and you've just been to Scotland. So tell us what you did in Scotland.
Oh, God. We traveled down memory lane. It was beautiful. The town we grew up in hasn't changed much at all over the years. It's, you know, part of it looks a little tired, I must say, but the bulk of the area just looked fantastic. And it's surrounded by lovely green hills and forests and the sea, of course. We're on the west coast of Scotland. And we had fantastic weather.
Can't believe it.
2 weeks and no rain.
Oh, my goodness. Very unusual.
Very unusual.
Because that rain, of course, is what keeps things really nice and green most of the time.
It gives you 50 shades of green.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So when you say, you know, you've kind of back in history, what were some of the different places that you visited in looking back in your life?
In Scotland?
Yes.
Well, we went to a little village where I spent a lot of time. And it's a historic village now. And that's just outside Glasgow. And in the old days, last century, not the 19th century, the 18th century, it was, in fact, they called it the laundry town for Glasgow. Anyone with lots of white damask tablecloths, for example, they would send them to this little village to be washed and bleached in the sun when the sun came out. It's just a very historic village, and now... It's expensive to live there, but it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. Everyone's into their gardens and flowers. And yeah, it was just very healthy and lovely.
Mm. And so you visited where you grew up. Your home is
yes,
still there.
Yes, it is. It there. Is. Yeah. The little village of Coylton, which I'm sure no one's ever heard of. but it was fantastic. Yeah.
So just down memory lane.
Yeah,
as
and
you
went
stated.
To our old house. So around the garden and the house.
And the fun part, I'm thinking, is that when you visit those places, all these memories of you and your brother and sisters came back.
That's right.
Laughed over a lot of things, I don't know, maybe cried over some, but just lots of memories.
All the
there.
Fights we had and all the good times we had. it was neat.
Yes, that's one of the nice things about visiting those places is just remembering all those good things. Well, of course, as Shona said, you now live in Australia, so kind of tell us, from Scotland, where next in your life?
I'm not sure, but I think I'll probably stay in Sydney for quite a while now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But from when you left Scotland, you didn't go straight
to
Sydney?
No, I didn't. No, I went to a town on the English coast called Worthing, which is next door to Brighton. And I was working on the paper there. I had gone from the paper in Scotland to England to work. And I arrived there, at the beginning of the year, and a couple of months later, the man who was eventually to become my husband arrived in town, and he's a journalist as well, and he was working on the opposition paper, so we met up, and yeah. I went to Australia when he came back to Australia.
That sounds like the thing to do. But it's interesting that you were on competing papers, but you still got together.
Yeah, my shorthand was lousy. His shorthand was perfect. Ah. So I often had to ring him up and say, what did he say again? Can I double check that?
Can't read my writing. Help me out here.
And he was kind enough to... help me out.
Okay. So that journalism career really just continued to work for you. You went to Sydney, and so what kind of was next? Did you work on a newspaper
there?
Yes,
I did. I worked on the Daily Telegraph in Sydney. And from there, magazines were just beginning to be introduced in a big way in Sydney. I mean, now they have got about 25 different magazines for women. Back then, they only really had three. So I joined the magazines. And I was interested in fashion and beauty, so I became the fashion editor and beauty editor, and then eventually I became an editor, but I didn't like that quite so much, so I went back into fashion and beauty. Mm-hmm. And then,
I think in fashion and beauty, it wasn't like, okay, we need somebody to do that, and here's a woman who can do that. It really was a high interest to you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say fashion, I mean, you have to not only decide what the look is going to be for that season, but you've got to organize your models, your photography, your storyline, make sure the shoot goes well, that everything is just perfect. And then once the photographer's happy, everything should be fine.
Vicki, I think you've touched on a couple of things that most of us, as we pick up a magazine, just take for granted. Hey, there's a pretty picture there. We have no clue as to all of that work that went into it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if you've done it right, you don't get this feeling, oh, that was a hard job to do. It should all look so natural. And that's where you have to be very clever with your models, for example. You have to have a model who can just stand there and look as though she's not modeling. Yeah, and yeah, so you've got your favorite models you like to use all the time. And everybody does that. The photographers do it. The fashion editors do it. Yeah.
So, and when you were working on this magazine, was that mostly about Sydney and the area, or were there shoots that were other places?
No, shoots overseas. That was the big thing. You'd have to pack up all this gear and take it overseas and find your locations overseas. And that added a lot of interest to the fashion feature. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It seems to me you're sort of a world traveler, Vicki.
I've been around.
Yes, yes. Yeah. What countries did you go to when you were doing these fashion shoots?
Oh, well, the Cook Islands was that was a lovely shoot. We eventually got on. We flew to New Zealand, first of all, and then we got onto a smaller plane to fly to another island, and then a smaller plane again to fly to a smaller island. And we ended up on this little sort of atoll. And it was just incredible. Blue, blue sea and sunny sky. And thank God we were doing swimwear.
would be very appropriate.
But you could put about 200 swimsuits in a suitcase, and that's all you needed. So I was very lucky. We only went to places in the summertime where you could do swimwear or very light dresses.
Yeah. So moving on, I mean, you that wasn't the end of your career in terms of working for magazines.
No. I decided after I'd been on the magazines for maybe 2 or 3 years that I wanted to start my own company. And I was specializing in fashion and beauty and other luxury goods. So that's what I did. I set up a company, and it just grew from a tiny little thing to a good-sized thing.
And when you say luxury, you might mention a few of the names.
Yeah, French luxury goods. Cartier, the big jewelry house. Christian Dior, the fashion house and beauty house, fragrance house. Givenchy, Veuve Clicquot champagne. I did a little work for Louis Vuitton and Tag Heuer, the watch company. They're Swiss, not French. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of work with watches. I really like luxury watches. Yeah.
So how did all of this fit together? I mean, you're talking about clothing, fragrance, watches, accessories. Mm-hmm. How does that all fit together when you're working?
Well, when you're doing PR for one company, for example, say Christian Dior Fashion, you can do a nice little fashion show, and then you pull in your champagne house. You pull in perhaps the hairdresser. I did the hairdressing as well, you know. So the hairdresser would do the hair for the models. The Christian Dior would do the makeup. You've got the fashion accessories from Dior, and it all, you know, plays in together. Yeah, you've got to be careful though, because you can't do companies that are in competition with each other. So you couldn't throw in Cartier jewelry there, for example. Uh-huh. Mm.
So one last question, because we could go on for a long time. What's next in your life story, really shortly? What's next?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'd like to get back into half marathon running.
Okay. Wow, that's a whole other story, story. Well, we want to thank you very much, Shona Putnam and Vicki Lord, for visiting with us this morning. And until next time, just a big thank you for being here.
Thank you very much indeed.